as well this morning. Michael, so glad to have you. Thanks for standing in this morning.
Sure.
Isn't it good to have Michael Sharon, our new student pastor, with us today?
Thank you, Corey. I appreciate it. How y'all doing? Everybody good? Hey, raise your hand if it's your first out-of-the-box Sunday. Just me? Okay, awesome, awesome. Hey, I cannot wait. Hey, if I've not met you yet, my name is Michael, and I am thrilled that you are here today. I'll be out in the commons and just want to meet you, talk to you a little bit. But listen, today we're going to be talking about this idea of blessing the children. Blessing the children. So if you've got a Bible or if you're going to use it on your phone, go to Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Hey, as you're turning there, as you're scrolling there, I want you to turn to your neighbor and repeat this after me. Say, hey, dude, Jesus blessed the children, and so should you. This is where we are going today. So today, here's what we're going to find out. Today, we're going to see that Jesus specifically in the scriptures blessed children in two ways. Okay, so we're going to discover those two ways that Jesus chose to bless the children. And then we're going to answer two questions for ourselves. Here's the questions that we're going to answer. Based on what Jesus did, what should my response be? And why should I do that? So two things: that Jesus blessed the children, and then we're answering two questions. Based on what Jesus did, what should my response be, and why should I do it? Hey, I want to encourage you to say this, repeat this after me before we read, but just say, God speak, and I will listen. Father God, that's our prayer to you this morning as we come to your word, God. We pray that you would speak and that we would listen. God, I need you. I am nothing without you. So God, speak and we will listen to what you have to us to say. God, teach us how important children are to you and to your kingdom. I pray that you would speak and we will listen. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, read with me. This is Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Here's what the word of God says. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch them and so he could bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. Jesus saw what was happening. He was angry with his disciples. And he said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." And then he took the children in his arms and he placed his hands on their heads and he blessed them. If you're a parent in the room today, most naturally you have a desire to bless your children. Now, I know y'all are wondering, man, whose good-looking kids are those? Those are mine. I have no idea why they're so good-looking, but they are mine. And me and Lena have a strong desire to bless our children, Reuben and Remy. I mean, we want to. It's our joy to. It's our desire to. And so you might think, well, Michael, what do you do for that? Well, listen, does anybody have kids like that they kind of have addictive personalities? They'll be super into one thing, and then they just like swap all of a sudden. Is that just my kids? Okay, these just like me. It's just mine. So about 3 weeks ago, Reuben is like into dinosaurs. I'm talking, we want the dinosaur blankets, we want the dinosaur pillows, anything dinosaur, Daddy, I want it. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be great because last year his birthday's coming up in 5 days. He'll be five, right? So last year he wanted a dinosaur party. And I'm like, dude, this is easy. I've already got like the T-Rex costume that I get him and blow up. Like we got all the decorations. Easy peasy. Last week, Reuben kind of makes a shift. We're no longer into dinosaurs. Now we're into bugs. Okay, so we want a bug party. And I've kind of had to tell Reuben, hey, Reuben, listen, man, when you go outside, bugs are not friends. Right? Like, we don't pick them up. We don't put them in our pocket. We don't put them in our mouth. We don't pet them. Right? He almost died a couple weeks ago by something called a wheel bug. I wish I had a picture of it, but that thing, if it was like the size of humans, it would just be killing people. It's a wicked thing. It's called a wheel bug. So me and Lena are talking because we have this desire to bless our kids. And Reuben, his birthday's coming up, and he says, I want a bug party. And I'm like, okay, man, I want a bug cake, Daddy. And I'm like, dude, that's easy. I said, we're going to go to Walmart. We're going to get that white sheet cake. And then we're going to get some plastic bugs and put on top of them. Now I'm saying all this to Elena, and you know the look I got? You better try again, right? You better try again. That's not what we're going to do. Hey, listen, all parents have a desire to bless their kids. Anybody like to go to the beach for vacation? I love going to the beach, but listen, fellas, if you're a dude and you go to the beach, unless you just luck out, you're going to spend the first hour of your day setting up at the beach. You're going to make 1,200 trips back and forth through your car or condo, and hey, you better know, you better get it right, right? Mama don't want to have to move around nobody right there. And mamas, you're the same way. I mean, y'all work full-time jobs, and then you get homeless, and you're full-time cook. Can I get a witness? Full-time on that laundry, full-time taxi driver for your kids. And we do all of these things because we want to bless our kids, right? We want our kids to have it better than who? Better than us. That's exactly right. And listen, there's a lot of things that we can do to bless our children. But I want you to hear me on this. The primary way that God intends for you and for I to bless our kids, it might be different than you think. It might not be about birthday parties. Might not be about making sure they got the nicest things. Might not be about making a donation to the sports team that way they can play. Might not be about that. Let's read and see what the word says that these parents had as their primary way to bless their kids. It says, one day, Mark chapter 10, verse 13, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch them and so he could bless them. If you're a parent in the room today, you need to know this, that the primary way that you are to care for your children is very simple. Bring them to Jesus. At every opportunity, at every cause, at every situation, at every circumstance, we bring them to Jesus. You know what's sad about this story is it reveals the failure of the church as a whole. Who's mad that children are being brought to Jesus? The disciples? The very people God's called to be on mission for him. So parents, I want you to know this. Times have not changed. When you decide to make it a priority to bring your kids to Jesus, you're going to encounter some difficulty. And sometimes that difficulty might even come from within. Don't stop. Bring your children to Jesus. Michael, is it really that important that I bring my children to Jesus? I want to share something with you that I ran across when I was involved in doing children's ministry. Here's something that you need to know. 90% of what a child will ever believe about what is right and what is wrong is set by the time they are 10 years old. I want you to hear that. 90% of whatever a child will believe about what is right and about what is wrong is set and sealed like hard concrete at 10 years old. Do you know what that means? That means that it is imperative that we make bringing our children to Jesus a priority. Mamas and daddies, you have 520 Sundays between the time that your child is born till the time that they're 10 years old. You have 520 Wednesdays. Michael, those are just church days. Okay, well, let's just get real. How many of you are sitting down for an hour every night and having family devotion before bed? Didn't think so. You got 520 Sundays and Wednesdays to bring them to Jesus. And it is important. And can I just tell you, I told him this first service, he's not in the room. Listen, I've met a lot of children's pastors. I've never met anybody like Cliff. Ever. That dude is it. He is the ticket, man. Bring your kids to him and let him bring you and them closer to Jesus. These parents were determined, I will bring my kids to Jesus. Can I tell you what an impact this has already had on Reuben? Like I said, Reuben's about to be 5, okay, so he's 4 right now. So 2 weeks ago, it's Cliff's birthday, and it's on Wednesday night, so I like to eat on Wednesday night. Anybody like to eat? This is before we started Supper Snack. It's back, so you can come and eat, and then you can do what I do. You can go get seconds after you eat dinner here at church. That's what I do. So we're going to Chick-fil-A, and we're sitting there eating, and I'm sitting across the table from Reuben. Reuben's sitting by Cliff, and I said, Reuben, what did you learn tonight at church? Reuben looks at me. He yells out, tell everybody about Jesus. I said, come on with it, man. Let's get after it. And I said, who are you going to tell? He goes, I'll tell you. I said, dude, I said, that's good, but I know Jesus. He said, I'll tell Mr. Cliff. I said, that's great. I said, let's tell somebody we don't know tonight, right here tonight. So there's this little girl, and Reuben at this point, I mean, we're kind of well into dinner, and he's been singing like about his chicken nuggets. My son loves to sing. He just makes up songs. So he's singing about his chicken nuggets, and he's singing about his fries or whatever, and this girl has kind of been wiping down tables, and she's following along with us. And he goes, I'm going to go tell her. I said, okay, go tell her. I said, go tell her that Jesus loves her. So he runs up to her, and he just goes, hey, Jesus loves you. Like whispers to her. And I'm like, dude, why don't you tell her? Be bold. Here's what I'm saying. Do you think that that would have happened if I wouldn't have brought him to church? If I wouldn't have brought him to Jesus? Maybe, but probably not. It is imperative, it is important as parents to bring your children to Jesus, to bring them around God's people. And here's what we're going to find. Even when the disciples don't want to honor it, do you know who does honor it? Jesus. Jesus honors it. So make it a priority. Let's see what the disciples did. Now listen, before y'all do what I do and we want to read about the disciples and just go, dude, how stupid. Understand this. The Bible is meant to teach us, number one, what happened, but then it's also meant to teach us, number two, who we are. It is a mirror for our souls. So let's read what the Word says. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 15 says this, but the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. What are you doing bringing your kid over here? Don't you know that Jesus is important? Get out of here. His nose is running. He needs to change his clothes. He's dirty. He said, get out of here, man. Jesus don't have time for your kids. Uh-oh. When Jesus saw what was happening, Jesus was angry with them. And he said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these little children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom like a child will never enter it. Before we rail on the disciples and make fun of them in a moment, because it's really easy to back up and see what should have been done, right? And it's easy for you to do that in your life, to back up and see what should have been done. But here's the heart of the issue. The disciples are under the assumption that there are certain people, listen, that are bothersome to Jesus. Hey, listen to me when I tell you this. Who is it that you look at and that you marginalize? Who is it that you look at and you see them as unimportant? There is not a person on the planet who is unimportant to Jesus. Not a person. And Jesus is upset because his people are revealing something about him that's not true. Jesus says, bring them to me. Who is it that you and I look at and we marginalize? We tell ourselves they're not important. Oh, it's just going to be a bother. I love that we have this sign right outside the door. You know what it says? We exist so that every man, woman, and child would have the opportunity to know Christ, to grow in Christ, and to go as the body of Christ. Jesus not only corrects the disciples' thinking, but he actually challenges them. He says, no, they're able to come to me, and what he really says is they're actually closer to the kingdom than y'all are. What does he mean by that? Unless you become like one of these little children, you will not inherit the kingdom. Listen, can I tell you something about a child that we're all supposed to imitate in our relationship to Christ? Helplessness. Dependence. Coming to him. God, I can do nothing. You know what God hates? He hates pride. You know what he loves? He loves humility. He loves it. And he raises those up who are humble. See, the disciples' problem is they thought that they were better than what they really were. Don't be bringing them nasty kids around here. And Jesus says, they're not the ones who are nasty. It's you. It's your heart. Because you misunderstand me. Bring the children to me. I want to look at the two ways that Jesus specifically blesses these children. Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 16. It says, "And he took the children in his arms, and he placed his hands on their head, and he blessed them." The first way that I want you to see that Jesus blesses the children is very simple. He touches them. He touches them. Now, why is this so important? Listen, over and over again, Jesus does miracles throughout the Gospels. Sometimes he speaks miracles into existence, but the primary way that Jesus does miracles is through touch. He's going to stick his fingers in a dude's ears that are deaf, pull them out, and he can hear. He's going to make a mud pie on the ground, put it on somebody's eyes, and he can see. He's going to touch people with leprosy, and they're going to be healed. Touch is important. And here's what makes this so unique about what Jesus does. It was not uncommon at all for people to have children, small children, and bring them to a religious leader to bless them, okay? But what was very uncommon is for a religious leader to touch them. All religious leaders back then were concerned with one thing. I don't want to be unclean. And you became unclean mostly by what you touched. And so they would pronounce a blessing, but they would never touch because that can make them unclean. And this is why Jesus just hammers them. He calls them whitewashed tombs. There could be no greater insult that Jesus could give those religious leaders than to call them whitewashed tombs. He goes, "You're like death." Jesus touches them. And it's significant because it reveals a truth about Jesus. Look up here. It reveals this truth. Jesus is not afraid to touch things that are unclean. And that is good news, not just for the children, but friend, that is good news for you, and that is good news for me. That my Jesus is not afraid to touch things, people, me, myself, when I am unclean. See, a lot of the world thinks that, you know, we want to come to church once we get everything all cleaned up. No. That's not how Jesus works. Jesus says, "Come on, just as you are, and I will wash you white as snow." Jesus doesn't shy away from the things that are unclean. He actually goes to them. You know what I love about Jesus' ministry all throughout the Gospels? Jesus interacts with people in two different ways. So Jesus has people come up to him and say crazy things like, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? I've been good, God. Look at all these things that I've done." And anytime somebody comes to Jesus and they're comfortable or they're relaxed in who they are or they have pride in who they are, they lift themselves up. You know what Jesus does? Jesus just demolishes them. "Okay, you done good, bub. Why don't you go sell everything you have and give it to the poor? Then come and talk to me." You know what it says? He went away sad. Anytime somebody is filled with pride and comes to Jesus, Jesus just nails them. "Get out of here, dude." But here's what Jesus does anytime that somebody comes that is hurting and broken and what you and I would consider unclean. You know what he does? He comes right beside them and he lifts them. He lifts them. Jesus is not afraid of your uncleanness, whatever it is. And here's what I know. By the power of God, Jesus can touch anything, anyone, at any time, and make something that is unclean, clean. Have you experienced that? Do you know what it's like to know that you and the Father are good, not because of anything that you've done, but because of the shed blood of Jesus that washes every stain of sin away from your life, and that when he looks at you, he doesn't see failure anymore. What he sees is the faithfulness of his Son. That's the power of my Jesus, the one who is not afraid and not unwilling to touch things and people who are clean. The second way that I want you to see that Jesus blesses the children, this is not a typo, I'm going to explain what it means, is the scriptures actually says that he gathers them up in his arms, he places his hands on their heads, and then he blesses them. He blesses them. Now, typically, when a child would be brought to a religious leader for a blessing, that religious leader would say three things over the child as a prayer for that child. They would say this: may you be famous in the law. Michael, what's the law? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And Leviticus is in there somewhere. May you be famous in the law. I pray that over you. And then they say, may you be faithful in marriage. And then they would say, may you be abundant in good works and good deeds. So that would be a blessing that religious people would pronounce and say over children. Here we do not know what Jesus says to these children, but we do know a significant detail. The Bible says that not only does he gather them up in his arms, it says that he places his hands on their what? On their heads. Here's why this is so significant. Trace back blessing. Okay, trace back blessing in the Old Testament and look at it when it is received and done with physical touch being in the same place. God creates Adam and Eve, right? The Bible says that he blesses them, and in the blessing, you remember what he says? Be fruitful and what a blessing, right? So awesome. Noah's on the ark, gets off the ark. There's a bunch of drama with Canaan, his son, but Noah decides that I'm going to bless his other two. Isaac has two twins, Jacob and Esau. Isaac can't see. He's on his deathbed. He knows he's about to die, and he tells Esau, Esau, go outside, go kill something, man. Cook it up. You know what I love to eat, and then I will bless you before I die. Y'all know the story, right? Jacob, the trickster, the heel grabber, is listening. So he goes and prepares some food. His mama tapes goat skin on his arms. And daddy feels it, and because he feels it, he blesses him. David's on his deathbed. Bathsheba comes and says, listen, there's about to be a revolt. God wants Solomon to be king. What are you going to do about it? David blesses Solomon. Michael, why are you telling me all this? Because this is very important. Anytime blessing happens in the scripture with touch, it signifies ownership. Ownership. Let me tell you the truth about your kids and the truth about my kids. They are not yours. They are not mine. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that they are a gift from God, a blessing. Now, sometimes I think God has a sense of humor, depending on what day that is. But that's what the word says. They're a blessing from God. The Bible also says in the book of Colossians that all things that have been created by him, through him, and for him. Let me tell you the truth about your children. Your children are from God and for God. They are not yours. They do not exist to expand your kingdom or your plateau of accomplishments. That is not the reason they exist. They exist to advance the kingdom of God. They are from God, and they are for God. And let me just tell you this. Anytime we get this mixed up, our children go from being a blessing to being an idol. Your idol and my idol. And we live in a culture where it would be ridiculous to say that we worship false idols that are placed up on a mantle. But I'm telling you, I believe that the false idols that we worship are our kids. We have forgot that they are from the blesser, and they're a blessing. Raise them up for God because they're from God. So Jesus does two specific things to bless these children. He touches them, and he blesses them, signifying ownership over them. So, Michael, what is my responsibility based on what Jesus has done, and why should I do what you're about to tell me what to do? Every single one of us should have a responsibility that if Jesus made it a priority to bless children, guess what we should be doing? We should be blessing children. Michael, how can I do that? That's a great question. Check out this statistic. This is from a 2019 census that was done here in Christian County. So Christian County has 70,000 people that live in it, according to 2019. 25,000 out of those 70,000 are children, being 18 years old or younger. Of those 25,000 children that live in Christian County, one out of every five of them, so that would be 5,000 of them, live below the poverty line. Michael, what can I do to be a blessing? Man, meet the needs of people around you. Meet the needs of those who are hurting around you. Most of the studies that I've looked at said that there's one crucial element that has to happen if someone is going to rise above poverty, and it's education. And the truth is, a lot of these kids that are in poverty, they don't have the tools that they need through education and in education to rise above. You might look at a pencil as something to be thrown away at your house. They don't. They need things to be successful. Michael, why are you telling me this? Because you got what they need. You got it in your pocket. Well, Michael, why should I do that? It's not my problem. No, but it should be your privilege. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave. If God gave to us, do you know what he expects us to do? To give. It is the very heart, the very essence of God that we show the world around us. And just in case that's not enough, I want to read this to you. And as I read this, here's your homework. You go home and you read the rest of the chapter. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to let Jesus put it on you. But you read this when you get home or before you leave. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. And then the king, that's Jesus, and then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world." Why are they inheriting the kingdom? Listen, "For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick, but you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." And then the righteous ones will reply to Jesus and say, "When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothes? When did we ever see you, Jesus, sick or in prison or visit you?" And then the king will say, "I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Why should I be concerned or care about the needs of people around me? Because, y'all, when you meet the needs of people around you that are the least of these, Jesus writes it down like you just did it for him. Is that not crazy? Like, I was thinking about this morning. If Jesus were to walk through that door right now, and all of us know that it would be Jesus, okay? Not an imposter, but Jesus walks through the door and says, "Can I have a bottle of water?" If you're in this section of the row, all y'all getting mowed down, all of you. I don't care. I'm getting to him to give him what he asks of me. And the truth is, there's 5,000 people in our community that need right now. And Jesus says, if you meet it, if you give it, I'm writing it down like you did it for me. How powerful is that? You ever wanted to do something for Jesus? Man, it's easy. Bless people around you. 1 in 5 kids in our community live below the poverty line. What are you going to do about it? I know it's not your problem, but it's your privilege to do something about it. In Mark Batterson's book, he's got a book called Chase the Lion, and he talks about the importance and the desire of people to live for applause. All of us love recognition. It's who we are. But in his book, Chase the Lion, he says, make sure you're pursuing the only applause that matters. And it's the applause that has hands that are nail scarred. That's the only one that matters. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, dude, Jesus bless the children. And so should you. Father God, we come to you right now in this moment. God, I pray that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts as Corey comes and gives us some specific instructions on how we can imitate you in our community and bless those that are in need. God, we love you. God, thank you for giving to us. Help us to be giving people because of who you are. It's in Christ's name that we pray, and everybody said, amen.
Amen. Thank you.